This week is Thanksgiving. It's kind of sad to think about what's happened to Thanksgiving. Commercially, it gets passed over between Halloween and Christmas. If Thanksgiving is acknowledged at all, secular society downplays the religious aspect. There's a tendency for people to be grateful for the good things in their life, but it's kind of a generic gratitude, without any focus on who they're grateful to. As soon as the turkey dinner's over, thoughts move on to Christmas and gifts. But for us as Christians, being thankful should be a way of life. So for the next few episodes, I'm going to address different aspects of Thanksgiving, because this is the perfect season to focus on it. And if we're not in a habit of it, let's get into a habit of it before the new year. To learn more, join me for today's episode of All Things Apostolic. Years ago, I used to teach a third and fourth grade combo elementary class. One year, I had the students perform a play based on the Yiddish folktale, It Could Always Be Worse. In the story, a man with a large family in a little hut went to his rabbi to ask for help because of the noise and the cramped space. He just couldn't take it any longer. The rabbi suggested that he bring the chickens, rooster, and goose into the house. So the man did. As you can imagine, things got worse. When the man couldn't take it anymore, he visited the rabbi again, who told him to bring his goat indoors, and the man did. When the man couldn't take it anymore, he visited the rabbi again, who told him to bring his cow indoors, and he did. You can imagine the man with his large family and all of these animals in a little hut. It was chaos. When the man couldn't take it anymore, he visited the rabbi once again, who told him to put all of his animals back outside. Relieved, the man went home and did it. And that night, everyone slept well because it was so quiet and there was plenty of room for everyone. The moral of the story is that the man learned to be grateful for what he had because it could always be worse. Now, I've sometimes used this logic myself when things weren't going well, when I think, I can't take one more thing. I remind myself, it could be worse. And this can be a form of thankfulness. But is it really? So I wanted to study more about thankfulness from a biblical perspective. In preparation for this episode, I studied about thankfulness in the Bible, and I purchased several books about Thanksgiving. I did not get a chance to get through all of them. I buy too many books, but I may review some of them in future episodes. But I did get through one of them in which the title really caught my attention, The Grumbler's Guide to Giving Thanks, Reclaiming the Gifts of a Lost Spiritual Discipline, by Dustin Crowe. Now, I don't know anything about Dustin Crowe, except that he's a denominational pastor, so I'm not recommending his books, but he makes some great points in this particular book that I would like to share with you. In today's episode, I'm only getting through actually the key points in chapter one, but they are foundational, essential ideas, and I found them really helpful to start broadening my perspective about Thanksgiving. The book starts with a gratitude quiz. At first, I didn't do it because things like that can kind of seem gimmicky, but it can be helpful just to start raising our awareness. So I actually went back and took the quiz after I'd read some chapters of the book. So let's take a few minutes and do it. There's just 15 questions, and for each question, answer either A or B. At the end, you'll want to remember how many times you answered option A. So, of course, that already gives you a hint which is the better option of the two. But no one knows your answers but you, so be honest. And I think as apostolics that we would hopefully tend to answer A more than B. But let's get started and see. Number one, do you more often A, remember God's blessings in your life, or B, forget them? Number two, when things don't go your way, do you typically respond A, in gratitude, or B, by grumbling? And that's when I'll have to admit that I can have a tendency when I get stressed to grumble. Number three, do you see Thanksgiving as A, an essential spiritual rhythm for Christians, or B, something that's great to do when you remember it, but it's not necessary? Number four, would you say that you tell God thanks A, daily, or B, less than daily? Number five, is Thanksgiving A, a significant part of your prayer life, or B, a small part of it? Number six, would you describe yourself as more often A, content, or B, discontent? Number seven, as you go throughout your day, do you usually A, have eyes open to reasons for giving thanks around you, or B, not see many things to give thanks for? Number eight, do you tend to rehearse, so think repeatedly in your mind, A, about God's generosity and goodness, or B, what seems unfair? Number nine, do you A, often tell others reasons you're grateful, or B, rarely talk about why you're grateful? Number 10, when you see things others have that you don't, do you A, rest in what God has given you, or B, struggle with jealousy? Number 11, if you were to list reasons for gratitude, would it be A, a long list and easy to come up with things to give thanks for, or B, a short list and hard to think of many things? Number 12, is practicing Thanksgiving A, a regular part of your life, or B, an irregular part of your life? Number 13, do you A, have a place or way of intentionally recording reasons for gratitude, or B, not have a place or way to intentionally record reasons for gratitude? Number 14, when circumstances are difficult, do you A, still find things to be thankful for, or B, stop giving thanks altogether? And last, number 15, when you think about Thanksgiving, do you A, tell God thanks, or B, feel grateful but not actually tell God thanks? So tally up how many times you answered option A. If you answered a perfect 15, then you're already pretty expert at Thanksgiving. If you chose A more than 7 times but less than 15 times, then you are giving thanks pretty regularly, but there may still be room for improvement. If you answered option A 7 or fewer times, then grumbling may come more naturally to you than gratitude. But don't be discouraged. It's fixable. It's just that grumbling can be a natural, it can become a natural reflex. Changing it into a reflex of thanksgiving takes time and effort, but it's possible. As we give thanks, grumbling gives way to gratitude. God-centered worship replaces self-focused whining. Now, I'm going to be a little transparent here and say that I'm sometimes guilty of self-focused whining. And it seems like this world is full of whiny, frustrated, entitled, and angry people. The church needs to offer them an alternative, not some utopian, unrealistic idea that if you live for God, then life's going to be a breeze and you'll never have any problems, but an honest approach that acknowledges that biblical gratitude is gritty gratitude. It takes grit. There are times of struggle and brokenness, but even in the midst of these, we have reasons to give thanks. In fact, more reasons to be grateful than to gripe and grumble. We need to practice the spiritual discipline of gratitude as a lifestyle so that we can be a light to those in a fallen world who are stuck in so much darkness. There are a lot of scriptures about thankfulness, but I'll share just a few. Psalms 92:1 says, "It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High." So it's not only right to give thanks, but it's good to give thanks to God. Psalm 95:2 says, "Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving." Psalm 100 says, "Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and his truth endureth to all generations." Paul gives us a warning in Romans chapter 1 about those who knew God, but they glorified him not, neither were they thankful. They knew that thanks and praise were due to God, but they didn't give it to him. This is just a small sampling of scriptures, but the Bible is clear that we should have an attitude of gratitude and give thanks to God continually. Now, one of the things that I'm sometimes guilty of is equating thanksgiving with naming blessings. There's nothing wrong with naming our blessings, and that is a part of thanksgiving. Each day, I thank God for a roof over my head, clothes on my back, and food on my table. I really do. I get that basic. I thank him for my family and my church and the leadership of my church. And it's good to be thankful for God's provisions and blessings. We don't want to take them for granted. But we should move beyond being thankful for people and things and be sure to acknowledge the giver of those things. We want to be thankful not only for something, but thankful to someone. Thank God not only for what he's done, but for who he is. And that thankfulness has to be expressed. I like this quote from Tim Keller that says, "Gratitude is what you feel. Thanksgiving is what you do." We start by feeling gratitude, and then we need to communicate thankfulness to God. And think about this. The gift tells us something about the giver. What does the nature of the gift tell me about the giver? What does it tell me about what they want for me or how they're seeking my good? How does it give me insight in the giver's attributes, character, and heart? When we think of this in connection with God, think about the types of gifts that he gives to us and what they show about him. He robed himself in flesh and died for us so we could have eternal life with him. He offers us emotional and physical and spiritual healing. He gives us his spirit to dwell within us and help us lead an overcoming life. He protects us. He leads us and orders our footsteps if we let him. The God of the universe loves us that much. He listens to our prayers. He hears our cries. And he sees our tears. He holds our hand when we're hurting. These aren't just generic, impersonal gifts. He gives us amazing, huge gifts, and he gives us gifts that are personal to what we're going through because he's always watching us and lovingly caring for us. By recognizing that God's gifts are incredible, we recognize what an incredible God he is. Through thanksgiving, we move from realizing what God has done to revering him as a God who does such things. Now, I want to take this one step further. Think about when you've received gifts in the past. You've probably received some impersonal gifts. They were nice, but kind of generic. But when you received a personal gift, like we've been talking about, that was thoughtful and that really came from the heart, you not only appreciated the gift more and it gave you insight into the giver, but it actually made you feel closer to the giver of the gift. The relationship with the giver was strengthened. Because of the personal thoughtfulness of the gift, you felt more of a bond to the person. Here's a key point. Thanksgiving is no longer only something we do, but it does something to us. And I love that thought. Thanksgiving is not only feeling gratitude and expressing thankfulness, which we should do, but it goes a step further to actually changing us by deepening the relationship with the giver. So there is a kind of a progression. We feel gratitude as we consider not only the gift, but what the gift shows us about the giver. Then we express to the giver our sincere thanksgiving. And then our personal relationship with the giver deepens and it changes us. We can use this same progression in thanksgiving to God. We serve a God who is good, faithful, and loves us. Become more aware of God's work in you and around you. Think about God's blessings in your life, His mercies, ways He's strengthening you and sustaining you in trials, and what these show about His character. Get to know Him through what He's doing in your life. It will strengthen your trust in Him. As we grow to trust Him more, we naturally worship Him more and love Him more. And we will be changed. We will experience greater joy in God. It's a simple but profound thought. Practicing thanksgiving pushes us nearer to the heart of God, and knowing and loving God is the ultimate goal. Why is thanksgiving important? Because it is a key way that we get to know God better. Let me conclude with a few poignant quotes from the book. As our faith and joy increase through thanksgiving, it cuts off the food supply to sin from ingratitude and idolatry. It's not an afterthought of the Christian life or the cherry on the top of our spiritual disciplines. It's not something we get to when we think of it or when all our spiritual ducks are in a row. Giving thanks is an essential life-giving part of the Christian faith. It changes us. As we respond to God's goodness and grace by giving thanks, it pushes out resentment, envy, anger, and complaining. Thanksgiving power washes away the sinful residues of ingratitude. In its place, the joy of rejoicing in God settles into our hearts. And that is my prayer for you, not only for Thanksgiving, but for all the time. Thank you for joining me for today's episode of All Things Apostolic. And until next time, take care and God bless.